cliffcentral.com.
Yes, I'm not getting sick.
It's great news. I thought I'd share that with everybody in South Africa wanted to know. And now I'm happy to tell you, I'm not getting sick. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
It's great news for everyone that I'm not going to get sick, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Good morning, everybody. What's happening, bitches? Leave your shittiness at the door. It is Friday, and it's time for us to get into July, which starts tomorrow.
Nice.
Yes, end of the month. End of your problems for June. Come on, let's shake it off.
Yep,
shake
I feel
off.
You.
Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it. That's what Taylor Swift, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm such a manly man to be singing Taylor Swift. Yes!
First thing
my
in the
balls
morning.
Just grew. Did you feel that?
Yes. I'm
such a man.
No, don't be hard on yourself. No, you probably just want to fuck her. You don't really care about her music.
Who doesn't?
I don't.
Really?
Yeah. I look at her and there's nothing happening down below for me,
she's
as they were saying in the classics.
Ironing board is
Jackie.
For me.
She's a mannequin who steals souls.
What the fuck?
Well, I'm sorry to break it to you, but that's what she's always been.
What the fuck are you saying?
Ben,
can we all be allowed a preference?
Yes, we can.
Okay,
of course.
Yeah.
In fact, thank God we do. Otherwise, we'd all be trying to bang the same people. It'd be very, very awkward.
Problematic.
Imagine all of us lined up and one person having to take a pounding every day.
Who would that person be?
I don't know. I don't know if they'd like it or they'd hate it.
No, I'd feel bad for them.
Do you know? I was joking around with one of my friends the other day and said to them, you know, we should start like a high-class prostitution agency for men and for women, where people can just go on an app and they can book someone who's really good looking for the night, and then it's over. There's no relationship, no meaning. It's a financial transaction. You get to have your fun. Maybe your husband's out of town and you're a woman who's been dealing with him doing business trips every other day, and you're bored and you're horny, and we could send you some finely tuned young man to sort you out. Maybe you're a guy who's
just...
You
realize these things do exist, right?
But I don't know if there's an... Isn't there an app? I mean, I would design such a beautiful user experience.
Yes.
Like, I could see it all happening. You have your secret login. And by the way, it's hidden on your phone. So it'll look like it's another app. It'll look like it's a search app or a public transit app or something like that.
Make it like a cricket scoring app.
There we go. Nobody's ever going to
open that on your
right.
phone.
Right. Beautiful, Ben. You see, I need you as an advisor. You're my consultant. I've just hired you.
No.
What, Grede?
I doth protest.
No.
I mean, if
a woman has a cricket scoring app,
the husband is immediately going to be suspicious, Ben.
True.
No, you just say, look, I'm finally taking interest in your kind of stuff. And they'll be like, oh, crap, now they like cricket. They want to talk about cricket.
I don't think he's going to. If he sees a cricket scoring app, he's not going to think, wow, she's definitely having sex with other men.
No, but he's going to find it weird, isn't
he's
he?
He's going to think, this is a very strange woman I'm married. But he's not going to. Be suspicious.
Wow, this woman's trying to get more into my life, and he'll be like, wow, that gives me some space.
So, I mean, you log in, right? You have a fingerprint ID. So you go in there, and no one else can get into the app without your fingerprint. And then you have your preferences set. So you want this age group, you want that kind of look, you want, maybe you've got a racial preference. You can put that in as well because some people think that's important. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've got a hair and an eye and a skin and all kinds of other preferences. Height. You know how people are.
Mm. We're very superficial.
Yeah. Look, you're talking to the king of superficial.
No.
And then it generates all these possible combinations. And it doesn't even have to be prostitution. It can be... basically single people who just want to get laid. Not like Tinder, because that's different. There's still people in there who will pretend to have conversations and talk to each other. Mm-hmm. You get on this app, you know you're in for business.
You just call it business.
Call it business.
It's the business app.
It's the business. And then it hooks you up. It says there are five single women in Johannesburg right now who are, they've all got a green light because what they have is a red if they're not available. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you could be on the app, but you might not be available. Mm. Like, you know, your husband's around or there's something going on.
Husband's around. Oh, damn it, he's here again.
Shit.
Oh, inconvenience.
Right. So children's that, concert at school.
Then there's the orange or the amber. That means like, yeah. Yeah, convince me. And then there's green, which is like, I'm up for it. Let's
which
go.
Which means I have the car action. Keys in my hand.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'll meet you halfway. We go to a motel or something. Do we have those?
Well, you should have like affiliate motels. So in your area, you can get like the knockoff rate for a knockoff.
Yeah. You can actually get like a half nightly rate.
Yeah,
because the hotels won't be full, you see. And they'll say, well, whatever rooms we have available, we'll give to your client base for half the money. Then at least we make half the money that night rather than none.
And you call it the business package for the business app.
Mm. Right. And you don't do any transacting. You don't have to pay because these are single people or people who want to have action who are totally adult. And it's very controlled. Anyone misbehaves, anyone falls in love or any of that crap, they're off the app. Because otherwise it gets complicated and you don't want to be responsible for that. And you just hook up these adults all over the place. Just people who want to like have some fun. And here's the key. You do not allow ugly and dreadful people on there. You do not let them in.
But then what you have to do then, Gareth, is you have to charge them like 10,000 rand a month to be part of the club.
No, that's it.
Because you can't just have people putting up...
ugly people will be charged 10,000.
No. All people, because you've got to be part of this like a vetting process, right?
Yeah.
You can't just have like some guy posting a picture of Gareth and saying, hi, I'm 30, 53, whatever.
Okay.
And I'm looking for a good time.
Whoa, hang on.
Because it's misrepresentation.
Yeah.
But I'm confused, though, because we know that there are a lot of ugly, wealthy men.
Are they not allowed? No, but that's fine. That's fine.
There's the blessed lessee networks that are taking care of that.
So you don't want ugly...
No!
Ugly anyone on this app.
This is for beautiful people, and they pay a premium to be a member.
People like to go ugly every now and again, sex-wise.
Then they can take a walk down the street. What's my app going to do? There are plenty of ugly people walking down the street. Yes. Just grab one of them if you're looking for a bit of...
Yeah, but your app is flawed because you don't appreciate what a market is.
But that's
just
the
like that.
Hey, I haven't done the sustainability research yet. I haven't done a focus group on the marketability of this. I'm just throwing it out there.
But you see, the Apple then lent to the idea you've always had about the club with the hot people only on one side.
You see, I have all these fantasies, but I wouldn't get in. That's the irony.
Oh. So, Gareth,
it doesn't matter.
So, Gareth, basically what you're seeking here is honesty between the sexes.
This is the closest we're going to get.
Yeah, this is what you're getting at.
Because you know the reward is an orgasm.
And an EFT.
Perhaps.
Well, it's
perhaps.
You know, Bali always wants to sell.
No. You started it out as prostitution.
It could be.
So there's going to be a transfer of funds.
It could be.
Prostitution is such an old word. This is more like... Let's try to make something sound a little better. This is
convenience sex.
Nah, it's gotta be sexier.
That's
than
too
that.
Clinical.
It's
zipping and doing it.
What is it called?
It's like just take the word coitus and economics, and let's make coitonomics.
Something like that.
Grab them by the pussy.
So, no, definitely not that.
Yeah. See, so basically it's coitonomics and being part of it.
I'll register the business as Grab Them by the Pussy Incorporated.
You might need to...
No, no one will know. That'd be trading as the cricket scorer or the business or whatever it is.
But...
but their business will be registered as Grab Them by the Pussy Incorporated. Wouldn't that be funny? Oh, all right. Stefan's on the line from Berlin. This is the guy I met when I was in Berlin last week. Hey, Stefan, how you, dude?
How's it going, Gareth?
Good, man. Good. How are you and your wife?
Great. Unfortunately, it's a bit, you know, you try to avoid the weather conversation, but it's a bit shitty here. So we're heading down south today for a couple of days.
Are you guys on a holiday or something, or is it just for the weekend?
No, we took a week off. We're driving. Today we're leaving for Czech Republic and then driving to Austria and then Italy and Slovenia and then heading back up again.
Fantastic. You see, that's what's nice about being in Europe. Like, I decided at the last minute last week I was going to go to Amsterdam, and you can do that. You can just hop on a train or you can grab a car and you can go.
Yeah, it's super convenient. It's going to take us like 4 hours to get to Prague, and that for like if you grew up in SA, that's like fuck all.
Yeah, it is.
And most Europeans complain. They're like, 4 hours, are you mad? Because they just don't understand how convenient they actually have it.
Yeah. And it's also, it's a, like a nice drive. It's pretty. You're going to drive through some beautiful places.
Definitely, hey, yeah.
Dude, listen, thanks for taking me around on what was it, Monday last week? Or when, I can't even remember what day it was.
I think it was some Friday, some weeks back.
So I want you to explain to everybody what that place is where all those hippies live, those like left-wing people who live in tents and they stay there all year round in the wild. What are they, just explain this whole situation to people, because I saw it. You took me through it. It's the most bizarre thing I saw in Berlin.
Sheesh, that's quite a way to talk about my neighbors, Gareth, eh?
Yeah. These people live... So Stefan lives in this block of flats, and then next door, there are all these fucking hippies, these disgusting people who live in... Yeah, they live in tents on the side of the river.
Like a camping tent.
It's like a campsite, yeah. And they all have... Yeah, it's you, exactly.
I'm sorry, don't be too
So tell everybody about them. I'm not going to steal from
okay.
you.
Okay. So it's this... it's this group of travelers. Gareth taught me to say travelers. Apparently, I called it something totally different, which is inappropriate.
Gypsies. You can't say gypsies.
And they basically, like 4 years ago, they set up camp on the main river in Berlin called the Spree River. And they live in homemade teepee tents, which probably have an internal square meterage of four square meters. Mm-hmm. And they live there the whole year. So it can be minus 10 outside. They'll still be in these weird tents. There's about 10 tents there. There's forks hanging from the trees. There's like a no heavy drug policy. I think Gareth, you took a photo of that.
I took a photo of the sign that said there's no, their policy is like no discrimination. So you're not allowed to be mean to anyone when you join their community. And they've got this whole community and they all sit outside on logs. And some of them are playing instruments, and some of them are there in their underpants, and some of them are like doing each other's hair. And
do they go toilet in the river?
They toilet in the river.
Ugh. Yes, they do, and they probably swim in that river, so that they still have all normal body parts is quite amazing, because the shit that gets dumped into that river is also a bit insane.
The cool thing is, they're very outspoken. These people, you walk through their community, which we did, and. They kind of they'll shout stuff at you, or they'll ignore you completely, depending on their mood.
Yeah, but it's like from the year that I've been here, it's never actually been uncomfortable walking through there, or they've never been rude or anything.
Yeah, they're not aggressive, right?
Yeah, I think they not the aggressive type, like the other block that I showed you, where they actually just claimed and took over the whole building. I think those guys are a bit more hardcore.
I'm confused. Are these homeless people, or are these people who choose to live in tents in fields?
They didn't choose the...
That's the confusing bit. Like, I don't know. I don't understand how these people tick yet, so I'm trying to figure it out. They're just a bit... I can't explain it. They probably just move around the world. They live here for a couple of years. Like I told Gareth 4 months ago, this dude moved in. Within 3 months, he built himself a Japanese wood hut. Like a real... It looks like you're in the middle of a little Japanese village, and this wood hut is now surrounded by teepee tents, which is the absurdest thing to look at.
Well, there was a guy living in a box in a tree. A box.
He's the newest guy. He's the newest guy. He just moved into the tree.
All right, so this guy has a box the size of... That sofa, maybe, behind my body. It's a normal size sofa that you probably put 2.5 people on. And it's a box, so it's not very big. You can't stand up in it. And it's in a tree. It's just positioned in a tree. A couple of hammers and nails have obviously been used to put it into place. And this guy lives there. He that's his house.
The newest edition, he just got a sign made that says private, so you've got to be careful.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because so many people are trying to get into his box.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Man, that was fascinating.
It sounds a bit dodgy when you say it like that.
Yeah. It's very, very dodgy. All right, so listen, enjoy your weekend away. We must talk some more, because there are other stories that we've got to tell everybody about.
Bernard. Yeah, Ben's just accusing you of being boring. A couple of things happened that night.
Tell him.
Yeah, tell us, Stefan, because we don't hear anything.
Tell him.
Well,
he always thinks I'm holding back.
Hello?
No, he always thinks I'm holding back. Go ahead.
Well, you were holding back a bit, but that you were just being courteous. Well, we went to a beautiful bar. What was it called? A fuck bar?
No, it's called Fuck Bar. But it's not a fuck bar. It's just a bar. It's a normal bar. They've got a couple of weird things on the wall. But there are a bunch of people sitting around drinking. I mean, that's what it was. It's called Fuck Bar, yeah.
Oh, I'm going down the street to Fuck Bar.
Yeah. Well, we phoned his wife as we were just outside Fuck Bar. We're like, hey, I'm going to Fuck Bar now. It's very exciting.
Yeah, that was cool. And then, well, you were hit on it by a Dutch guy, so I thought that's why you went to Amsterdam.
I should be so lucky.
Very nice.
We were at this other bar. We eventually gave up just after that because we thought, you know what, this is not going to be our night. We didn't find anything going on. You discovered some place on your way home, and I discovered nothing on my way home. But there was this. We were at this. What would you call it? It's also like a bar stroke club. There were a couple of people dancing, some weird German music going on. And there's this.
Yeah, that was the old.
There was this guy, this Dutch guy. He comes up while we're trying to order our drinks, and he starts telling me all about how wonderful Holland is.
Oh.
Out of the blue, I didn't say hi to him or anything. He was a friendly dude, but he starts. Yeah, Holland is wonderful. Here is how much it costs in Holland for this drink. That drink is very cheap. This one is very expensive. Here it is much cheaper.
Oh,
that was the whole conversation. So we joked that that was the only action.
Yeah,
I got.
Maybe he enjoyed your ironic T-shirt after drinking tequilas the whole night. Having a T-shirt that said vodka was quite
true.
Original, quite hipster. You probably fit in well in Berlin that day.
I'm surprised I didn't come home with a Russian bride wearing a shirt with vodka written on it.
Oh, that would have been a story.
No, that would have been a great story. But yeah, just to assure Ben that there was nothing left out because he really feels that I don't divulge enough.
No, I don't think you do enough. And the thing is about holding back in a story is that you have no interest in doing interesting things anymore.
Ooh, did you hear that?
Well, he got in the car with a total stranger in a city he's never been before.
Ooh,
wow.
What did you do?
Fly your drone and talk to meowses? This could have gone seriously wrong.
Yeah.
This could have gone seriously wrong for both of us.
What if Stefan was a serial killer? Then you would add a story. At what cost?
Oh, no. Okay. Let's.
Is it too much to ask? I mean, that's the story, yes.
We did go to another interesting place on the other side of the river from these nutcases and the teepees. And it was also just a bunch of a very mixed crowd, like old, young. They were all just partying in this place that they build from scratch every year. It's owned, you said, by some Swiss family. And then people just come in and they build this place out of nothing. And you drink there and you eat pizza and people just, they sit around and talk.
Hmm.
Yeah, the Holzmarkt, as
they
call it.
There we go.
And then we took the German version of Uber called Mein Taxi.
Now this is, it's very exciting.
No, you have to say that again, please.
Mein Taxi.
That's it.
You have to shout everything when you say it like that. All right, so Stefan, tell them how this works because this is pretty fascinating. Ben would like this. This will be more exciting to him than my boring life.
You mean the Uber part or the car sharing?
Yeah, the car sharing. Explain how that
I
works.
I heard about this
This
yesterday.
Is amazing. I love this. I wish we could do this in this country. People would steal the cars for sure.
Yeah, I also think so. But there's a couple of companies. They are supported by like Sixt Car Rental and Eurocar and all those other big players. They have around 500 cars all over Berlin,
mm-hmm.
Which you can use as you please. You just pay per minute. You pay like 30 cents per minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the app. You just go there, verify your driver's license. And then via the app or via a little membership card, you can just tap the car or you can pre-book the car 15 minutes before. You jump in, you drive it as long as you need it, and you just drop it off wherever you want to. And then somebody else will take it. Or you can reserve it. So it's basically just your private car for the next couple of minutes.
Isn't that amazing?
That's fantastic.
So I'm sorry. So you wouldn't need to be duped.
You don't have to apologize.
Into paying car installments over like a 5-year period. You could just do this car sharing thing for the rest of your life. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's the only inconvenience is when it's like minus 10 degrees outside and you got to walk for like 20 minutes to find a car. That's really terrible. And you can't actually leave the city. So if you want to do a little day trip somewhere, you'll have to use actual car rental service.
And if you do leave the city, does like a light go off and then the car like sort of starts telling you, go back, go back?
It won't tell you to go back. It will just tell you that you can't park the car. So they will keep charging you until you go back into a zone that is accepted for the car service.
Okay, so if you park it next to your teepee and then start living in it, that's going to cost you a lot.
No, because the teepee is within the legal area to park the car. So they might build a teepee next to the teepee just for the car.
Wow. It's tremendous. I mean, I wish we could do that in this country, but as I said at the beginning, I thought we'd probably end up with more stolen cars than you can imagine.
Yeah, and how easy was it, Gav? Like, I burst a tire?
Yeah.
And I just called them within 5 minutes. They went to the car to fix the tire, and we just jumped into a BMW i3.
Yeah.
And just kind of showed off the back of it.
There was a new car there. It was so easy. It was terrific.
So they're all like new cars. You're not getting like an old Skoda or something.
No, we went from a Mini to a BMW i3.
Nice. Wow.
I think the oldest is 2015 models. And with 6, you get all the BMWs and Minis. And with Eurocar, you get all the Mercs and smart cars. So you can actually choose. Like if you have a preference, you just stick to the one.
Pretty cool, huh?
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we'll talk to you again. Stefan, enjoy your time in Prague and Italy and everything else.
Sure, have a good weekend, team. It was nice chatting to you.
All right, dude. I'll tell them more about your stories next time we speak to you.
Cool.
All right, very good. See you guys. Stefan from Berlin, one of our listeners, one of our tribe.
Yeah, I think we are so far away from using something like that.
Can you imagine? The syndicates in this country that would steal every car.
Well, the car would be in pieces. It's the hijacking syndicates that that would be in the way of something like this working.
The car would last 5 minutes.
And then it would literally be in 73 different pieces and halfway to Mozambique.
But do you not find the cars dirty?
No, they're beautifully clean. They are state of the art. I mean, it's just a really clean, perfectly functional car. These are not old, shitty rental cars.
Are they cleaned before someone uses it again?
I reckon they probably are part of the package, is that every now and then they take them back and they service and clean them.
Mm.
But people are respectful. They don't leave hamburger wrappers.
That's the word.
And
cigarette butts
and all that kind of. People are just respectful of each other. I think that's our biggest problem in this country. It's like we have no respect for each other.
Yeah. And we'd
that's
exploit something
you can
like
see
this.
It on the roads. Look at how no one will let you in traffic. Look at how people hoot at each other. The road rage. We're just such pricks to each other.
Yeah, we really are.
And I mean, Germans have been through way worse than we have. I don't care what you say. Those people, not necessarily the young ones who are alive now, but their parents' generation and the generation before that and every other generation of Germans before that. Look, they caused their own shit by starting wars left, right, and center. But they went through hell. Hell! Death of at least a fifth of the population. In Berlin, 5 women to every man at the end of World War II. Because all the men had been killed. The whole city was rubble. I'm not saying they didn't deserve it after what they'd started. But that's some trauma to go through. And this is just one city. And now, with an immigrant population that outweighs the natural German population by 2/3.
Mm.
2 out of every 3 people is not born in Berlin. And they still manage to be respectful to each other. Because that's the way that they behave. You think we could ever get that right?
I'm not going to hold my breath.
My ballet had such an argument with Sivan Gesi.
It wasn't an argument.
It was funny, though. Of course it was an argument. You had a point of view. He had a different point of view. But it was a fun argument. It wasn't like an angry.
Yeah, no. It wasn't screaming and shouting at each
but
other.
But you put him in his place. My ballet's like, she did. She said to him, I am cynical about humans. I am not interested in them improving. You are positive. That's great. But you're wrong.
No! Look, him and I disagreed on points. And in trying to explain to him why I felt a certain way, I said, no, listen. The first thing you need to understand about me is that I'm a pessimist.
Mm.
So I have terrible outlooks on almost everything in life. And then, you know, he understood it. He was like, okay, well, then I understand why you think a certain way.
Yeah. No, it was fun to watch, though. Got quite animated. So I wanted to say I so enjoyed, this is a message on WhatsApp from us this morning. You can WhatsApp us on 0797482090. Hey team, I just wanted to say I'm so happy I heard Siv and Alex's podcast. So refreshing to hear an interview with a disabled person that wasn't immediately patronizing or full of pity. As a kid of 2 deaf parents, I'm always seeing how people are either completely idiotic or they try to overcompensate with pity around my parents, and no one ever thinks that they have any personality or could possibly be full of shit too. So as you can imagine, I get into a lot of trouble when I argue with my parents, as all children do. So departure of normal treatment to the disabled, well done, and I hope to hear them on again. You know, it is weird, and I had a conversation with Alex after the show too. He's in a wheelchair, and he says people will bend over and go, "Hi, Alex, how are you?" Like he's a child. And this is an adult man who's managed to put together a program where he's exchanging, you know, disabled students from all over the world come over here and study, and others go over to America and study. It's, I mean, it's a brilliant program. He's done it all on his own. And the last thing he wants is to be treated like he's some kind of subspecies, which is what people do. They don't even realize it. They mean well. They don't try to be pricks. They mean well, but they're like, "Oh, look, it's a little man in a wheelchair. I'm going to treat him differently." And that's what I've always tried to do whenever we have people on the show, whether they're blind or they're in a wheelchair or anything else. And most people get freaked out when they're in that situation because they're not sure how to deal with it, and they know they're going to do something wrong. And then they just avoid it at all costs. I've embarrassed myself, but I'd rather do that and let the disabled person laugh at me than have it the other way around, where I feel like I've never even engaged with them and I've treated them like some kind of organism.
But it's like Steph was saying when he was addressing that crowd once and there were two people in a wheelchair and he made the vegetable joke.
Yeah.
People in the wheelchair were laughing. The rest of the crowd was so uncomfortable.
You are not... He has an important point on that note that I always bring up, and people don't seem to get this, especially people on social media. You are not allowed to be offended on someone else's behalf. You can't. If they're not offended, you're not allowed to be offended on their behalf. That's ridiculous. That's like taking up a fight that no one else is fighting. You're on the battlefield on your own, and you're like, "I'm going to get him." Who?
Well, what makes it even worse is then those people get offended that those people aren't originally offended. Yeah. It's like, oh, how can you take that?
You're in a wheelchair. You shouldn't have to tolerate.
You shouldn't laugh at that.
You're like, please, I've suffered enough. Do you really think I can't choose what makes me laugh and what doesn't? Anyway, let's get on with it. We've got to get to news, which is brought to you this morning by Colcacchio Pizzeria. I love Colcacchio Pizzeria. I was there on Tuesday.
Yeah, I was there on Wednesday.
Got so my favorite San Siro salad. Can't go wrong.
But you know that whole app thing? So I had, 700 and something slices. So you go into either pasta, pizza, salad, whatever, and then you choose whatever you want, and it tells you how many slices there are. Boom, you redeem it.
You didn't even have to pay.
No, that's it.
No money.
Have a nice meal, and they say have a nice day afterwards.
Damn nice.
Just like
nice
that.
Is the key word here. Anyway, Colcacchio Pizzeria, they do it properly. They do it originally. They are the guys to go to. If you're looking for a fantastic meal this weekend, keep Colcacchio on your mind. They're right there front and center, and you can find them all over South Africa, so don't give me that excuse. It's time for the news. All right.
Is anyone familiar with who Trillion Capital are?
It's the Guptas.
I don't.
Oh, sorry. We were meant to play a game for a little bit.
It's not that. I mean, just for people who are not aware.
Sounds
Gareth.
Like a really bad yet ambitious rap trio.
They're an asset management company, essentially. Yeah. They're a financial services provider. And yes, Gareth, the Guptas have now been dragged into the storyline. Trillion Capital came under fire after a company whistleblower alerted former public protector Thulima Donsela that the company's chief executive officer, Eric Wood, might have Gupta links and might be suspicious of corrupt activities. And since that story has kind of, you know, hogged the headlines, Trillion chairperson Tokyo Sekgwale says that the company's CEO, Eric Wood, who has been implicated in shocking instances of corruption, shook hands with the wrong people. An independent investigation into Trillion and its links with the Guptas has shown how the company assisted the family to buy Optimum Coal Mine and how Eskom paid large sums of money for work that it did not have a contract for. As a result, Sekgwale is now stepping down as Trillium's chairperson, saying that these allegations involving the company are only part of a much bigger picture of state capture. Advocate Jeff Budlander has criticized Trillium management for trying to obstruct his investigation into the company, saying that he's been left with the impression that the company cannot be trusted. He added that despite Trillium stating that it had no links with the Guptas, its majority shareholder, Salim Issa, is closely linked to the family, and it appears that 160 million rand was paid from Trillium to Tegeta to help the Guptas buy the Optimum coal mine.
These guys have got their fingers in so many pies. It's like Bill Cosby.
Well, I mean, this is the scary part, because we know that they've got their fingers in government.
Oh, big time.
So now, have they moved their fingers into the private sector as well? And then we have to ask the question, well, who in the private sector is in bed with the Guptas?
Well, those people should be outed. We should know who we're dealing with, and no one should do business with them. They should be untouchables.
It just seems that their fingers can go wherever they want them to.
You know, there was this story yesterday we didn't cover about Peter Bruce, the journalist. Those idiots from Black First, Land First pitched up outside his house yesterday.
Oh, he's Chris Aldis.
And that's because the Guptas, he's written about the Guptas, right? And these guys, Andile and his band of retards, pitched up outside Peter Bruce's house, private house. And they spray painted on his garage door and they were like protesting. You know, there's a fine line, and the Guptas obviously said to them, oh, why don't you guys go there? Because they do what they're told. Black First, Land First has got nothing to do with black people or land. It's a bunch of people who they're getting paid by the Guptas. I mean, you couldn't wish for a more abject kind of slave than the slave that Andile Mngitam has become. He'll do anything for money. He's defending the Guptas. Who in this country believes he means that? I'm desperately searching for someone gullible enough. And this group of people must be, what, 10 people strong or whatever? That's the whole membership.
I think there were as many as 7 yesterday.
And they are the most inarticulate, backwards, unintelligent bunch of people you've ever seen in your life. Standing, like, shouting and screaming outside a private citizen's house, trying to intimidate him so that he'll stop writing about the Guptas. I mean, how dare this family?
Gareth, that's an instant arrest, though. They were vandalizing private property, and they were occupying an area. But
who's going to arrest them? Fikile Mbalula's police?
Yeah, but I mean, is that not what we have in this country? Like, the rule of law can apply there? Because that's just vandalism. Whatever they've got in their stupid T-shirts, or whatever's coming out of their frothing mouths, doesn't actually hold any importance here.
Okay, so then
it's an arrestable offense.
Okay, my question then is, how big is the threat here from the Guptas? Because if they can pay and influence, you know, people who you say are, these guys who you say are stupid, all the way up to allegedly a CEO of an asset management company, then that means that the Guptas have a very big,
very
reach.
Powerful people.
They have an extensive reach.
Yeah. That's right.
So then we're screwed.
Well, no. We must dismantle this. This is our primary objective as a country. If we want to get our country back, if you believe that South Africa should not be a privately held enterprise, it should not be the kingdom, the feudal possession of a family of immigrants, then this is the number one thing you should be fighting for. Forget about everything else. This is number one. It's not the ANC's policy conference. It's not Jacob Zuma or any of that stuff. It's this. We must get these people the hell out of our country because they are everything they touch turns to stone.
And then, ain't that the truth?
I mean, it's everywhere, right? They're so deep in things. And all they seem to be able to do is offer kleptomaniacs money.
But that's just it. So back in Casino Royale, the James Bond movie, James Bond had to play Le Chiff in a high-stakes poker match. But the reason he played them is because if he loses his money, then a criminal organization would have no money left. So they wanted to bankrupt the money. So someone needs to get the Guptas to a high-stakes poker table and beat them.
Good idea, Ben. It's not going to be me. I'm not that good at poker.
Yeah, right. Neither am I, Ben. Who are we going to find?
We'll find someone. There are a lot of people who are good at poker.
Okay, cool. But we just solved it, so we can get the next story now.
All right, next story.
Anyway, the South African National Editors Forum did strongly condemn those attacks that you just spoke about, Gareth. It actually involved two senior journalists, it wasn't just the editor of Business Day, Peter Bruce, as you said. Uh-huh. Tim Cohen was also assaulted. So group editor at large, Peter Bruce, and then the Business Day editor, Tim Cohen. Both of them were assaulted yesterday by the Black First, Land First people.
It's like Black First, protesters. Gupta First, Land Narrative also First.
Here's what they said. They actually said, we will defend the Guptas because they are black people who are victims of white monopoly capital. Excuse That's what they me? Said. Yes. Mm-mm. This is how unbelievable this narrative is. Mm. It's just great.
No,
it's so terrific. Okay.
Anyway, this Eric Wood guy, he says that he can't wait to clear his name. But in the meantime, Tokyo Sekhwale says that, well, he's just stepping down from Trillion as chairperson, because I suppose he doesn't also want to be dragged into suspicious activities. Okay. Donald Trump. U.S. President Donald Trump's administration have now reversed a decision which was taken late on Thursday, as they have revised their travel ban, which took effect. The new decision that has been taken is that fiancés will be considered close family members and therefore allowed to travel to the United States. Previously, grandparents, grandchildren, and fiancés traveling from Iran, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen would be barred from obtaining visas while the ban was in place. But yesterday, after a quick meeting, the Trump administration then came out and said, no, it's fine. Fiancés are allowed to come into the country without the travel ban. The 90-day ban took effect at 8 p.m. on Thursday, along with a 120-day ban on all refugees. On Monday this week, the Supreme Court revived parts of Trump's travel ban on people from 6 Muslim-majority countries, narrowing the scope of lower court rulings that had blocked parts of a March 6 executive order and allowing his temporary ban to go into effect for people with no strong ties to the United States. So, fiancés, you're okay.
Wow, isn't that nice of him? Because, of course, he wouldn't have his wife if he had a ban on fiancés' travel.
Well, she's not from these 6 countries that for the time being they're focusing on. But remember, earlier this year, the Trump administration had said that this... Oh, no, that was the airplane thing. Sorry, I'm getting my stories mixed up. The airplane thing on people not being allowed to bring devices on American flights.
Right.
They say that they're going to extend that to make it a worldwide thing. So anyone from outside of America will not be allowed to board any of their flights with a device on their planes.
I don't know what... Like, so now we have to put our phones into...
Well, you're just not going to be allowed to have them on your person. They're going to have to be in the...
In your bag.
In your bag. In
Unreal.
Okay, but now things must happen now, right? Airport security needs to be like as good as ever can be. Those baggage handlers are going to think, oh, okay, well, I can steal phones now. The moment one phone gets stolen, this plan's stupid.
It's already stupid. I can tell you right now. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
But it's a... Then you got to have like different security, different insurance policies in place. It's just stupid.
It's very, very dumb. All right, let's move on. It's time for Ben's sport, and let's see what's going on in the world of sport. We've got the weekend ahead of us, Ben. Lots to look forward to. Am I right? What do you got? Oh, there we go.
We'll start with the car crash. It's revealed that Venus Williams was in a serious car crash. And an old man has died.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. No.
So about 2 weeks ago, Venus was driving around, and she went into an intersection. Of course, she's obviously in a very nice car, and then another car kind of flew into her car, and a 78-year-old man has died after being in hospital for 2 weeks. You obviously can't take speculation into account right now, but people are saying it was Venus's fault. It doesn't look good for her. But her lawyer, obviously, is saying it was not her fault. It was just an accident. Blah, blah, blah. But the point is, this is like Caitlyn Jenner all over again. Someone has died here.
Yeah.
Very serious. And Venus, of course, is going to go play in Wimbledon, which is not a good thing to have hanging over her head as she goes into that tournament, where she is seeded 10th.
Gee.
Yeah. In cricket news, 50%.
I'm sorry about that. That could happen to anybody, you know.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, sure.
And I feel bad for people who die in accidents that aren't caused by celebrities or that don't involve celebrities, because nobody cares about those accidents. They don't make the news. And the only reason this has made the news is because Venus was in this accident. Again, something that could happen to anybody. Mm. And it's not even her story, because the other guy died. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Such a mess.
In... crap, what was I going to say now? Oh, Faf du Plessis, he is now a dad. So there was a chance that he wasn't going to be able to play in the first test.
Okay.
And let's be honest, that is a real big blow if he were not to play in the first test, because he is such an amazing part of this test match side. Mm-hmm. He is the captain. He's kind of really reversed some sort of flagging fortunes for this team over the last 18 months. And he's essential. So baby born yesterday. Not sure if it's a boy or a girl. Not that you really care. The important thing is that he'll be going back to England and he will be playing a test match next week. Yeah, it starts in Lords next week. It's a bit insensitive when you think, like, nobody actually cares about this child. Everyone just cares about the fact that 50% is going to play for the Proteas. And I always think, like, you got to feel for the wives at this stage, because these superstar husband sports people,
mm-hmm.
they witness the birth and it's all very cool, and then the woman goes home for, like, what, like 2 months now? She's going to raise the kid by herself?
Well, my friend got married to a cricketer the other day. He left after a month of them being married to go and play for like 3 or 4 months overseas. She won't see him. It's hard. It's hard to be a sports wife.
It is. Speaking of that friend, Gareth, he is currently 30 not out for the Proteas.
Nice.
Heino Kun. So it looks like he will probably start. And him and Dean Algar are best mates after all. They both play for the Titans. It's a really great opening batting partnership, I believe. Stephen Cook has obviously fallen out of favour here, so it would look that Kun and Algar are going to be the opening pair, and they're currently 58-1 against the England Lions. So that is a warm-up match being played in Worcester, but of course the weather's crap in England, so that was just 58-1 after day one. Vernon Philander was not considered for this match as his ankle is still dodgy, but people are hoping that come Lords next week he'll be fine and raring to go. A lot of ifs around that, because Vernon's not exactly... Well, I wouldn't say he's light on his feet. So an ankle injury for someone like him, who's got a bit more bulk around, general areas, might take a little bit longer to get back into full shape.
Bulk in general areas. What are you trying to say? Is that a diplomatic way of saying the guy's fat?
He could be thinner, Gareth, yes. Okay. I'm definitely saying that he definitely could probably work on his conditioning a bit more. But hey, he's still an amazing superstar, and we need him for that first test. Simon Homer. He's this sort of hipster-looking off-spinner from South Africa who's now playing county cricket in England. He has taken 14 wickets this season in not one, but two matches. Two matches. Yesterday, he got 9 for 95 versus Essex, right?
Very impressive.
Sorry, versus Middlesex. Now, Middlesex are the current county champions, and Homer and his Essex team, well, they just rolled over them. 9 for 95. This is absolutely incredible bowling figures. He ended up with 14 in total, left 14 for 172, and his team won by an innings and 34 runs. But Simon Homer is what? So I don't think he's going to get into this Proteas team anytime soon, because you know you only have so many watts.
Okay.
But the guy's putting in all the performances he needs to kind of keep the selectors really understanding that there is a fantastic off-spinner in our ranks. And if he's going to play in England for a couple of years, then cool, so be it. It'd be great to get the experience back in the team at some stage. It's a bit of a shame that Dan Peat never kicked on. He's not current in the Proteas setup. Keshav Maharaj is the only spinner. But hey, good to see you guys doing well. In, I think that's about it for cricket. Yeah, so the next test starts next month. Well, this month coming now, July. 6th to the 10th will be the first test at Lords. The second test, July 14th to 18th at Trent Bridge. And then the third test will follow that July 27th, and the fourth test August 4th. So Faf's got a huge, huge couple of months after becoming a dad.
All right.
Right, cyclists, what a bunch of dicks they are. We know this, right?
Well, it's my opinion.
They have very nice legs.
Well, that's about all we got going for them. Because Belgian cyclist Jean Bakelants, he's a real lunt himself. Gareth, he's had to apologize for a comment he's made about the girls that are on the podium. So, you know, after these cycling stages, there'll be girls on the podium. They'll give the winner a little kiss on the cheek. And it's kind of like ornamental. It's been going on for ages. They have to hand them flowers, maybe a bottle of champagne towards the end. So this dickhead, Jan Belkenlands, he says he told a Belgian newspaper he would carry a pack of condoms around because you never know where those podium girls have been hanging out.
Ooh. That sounds mean.
I mean, who the hell does this guy think he is? Cyclist.
Yeah, the only reason you've even been near Podium Girls, dude, is because you've been spending your entire life on a bicycle.
And he has the audacity to talk about these women who are just trying to make an ordinary wage like anyone else. And this is a line of work that does pay, I'm sure, relatively well. And he has the audacity to think that these girls are skanky.
Well, he's skanky.
Well, this is exactly my thinking. So he's kind of letting us in on the fact that clearly they sleep with some of these girls. So then how many of these girls has he slept with?
Right.
Zero, because he's obviously a prick and he's bitter. And you know what? These girls can sleep with whoever they want. They don't need this dickhead to then say that they're going to be... You're going to need a pack of condoms just to stand there. I mean, does this guy even know what condoms do?
Oh, he puts them over his head as a joke for his friends.
Yeah, exactly. In wrestling, Gareth, there is a pro wrestler that's coming through the lower leagues. And, he doesn't like Donald Trump.
Oh. So what's he going to do?
He's called a progressive liberal, okay? And he comes onto stage wearing shirts with Hillary all over them.
Wow, that's
he's got a shirt completely made up of Hillary faces.
Yeah? And what's he going to do?
And he is such a villain because most of these wrestling things take place in like school halls where everyone's a redneck or whatever.
Right.
And I mean, it's rough. But he's a traditional villain. So in wrestling, you get the good guy and the bad guy. So he's taken over the whole bad guy thing. And people absolutely hate him. He was even given death threats, but he goes out on stage and he says things like, not my president. And then he shouts at these rednecks that he'll get them jobs in clean energy.
So, okay, well, this is fine. He's a provocateur.
All and right. Then he's got a finishing move.
What's that?
So, you know, like everyone's got their own little move, right?
Yes.
So at the end, and then it's their trademark thing. So yeah. The liberal agenda is this guy's finishing move. And he is pissing people off all around middle America.
They hate him.
Yeah. He will die quite soon. And then the Proteas head coach job, that's up for grabs. But Russell Domingo has not reapplied for that. It has not been confirmed. He's not going to reapply for it. So right now the candidates, the shortest looking like Jeffrey Toyana, who's the Lions coach. And I reckon he's got the inside track here. Mm-hmm. Warriors coach Malibongwe Maketa. And then former Titans coach Rob Walters, who went to New Zealand. He's also in the mix along with Richard Pybus. And then Shuki Conrad, who is the current SAA coach. That's going to be the mix. It would be great to see at some stage maybe a foreign coach coming in. Because think about it, the Proteas have choked the crap out of a whole bunch of stuff in the last 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
A foreign coach could change that. I mean, I know I'm a romantic, but it could happen.
All right.
We've got to look towards these things. If you want to be the title sponsor for the Mayweather-McGregor fight, it's going to cost you $10 million. Basically, if you want to sponsor this thing, it's going to be twice as much as the Manny Pacquiao and Mayweather fight.
I heard that... Tickets, the cheapest tickets are like $38,000.
What an absolute waste of time. But that's what happens with hype. You can spend so much money in hyping it up and then take a whole bunch more money in. Super Rugby for the weekend tonight, 7 o'clock, Sharks versus the Bulls. Tomorrow, very early, 1:05 in the morning, Shuggy Wyeth versus the Kings. Cheetahs versus the Stormers at 3:05. The Lions versus the Sunwolves at 5:15. That's all we've got for Super Rugby. And then Confed Cup final, it'll be Germany versus Chile because Germany hammered Mexico last night. That's it for your sport.
Thank you very much, Ben. It's time for us to check in with Anthea Gardner, see what's going on in the money. That's right. She's on the line. But we couldn't start the money shot this morning, as we can't start anything with Anthea without at least having her song. And here's Obakeng with his version.
Why say we let such a letter? Anthea gata touch a letter. Anthea, why say we let such a letter? Umutware hante. Anthea.
Good morning, Anthea. Is she there? Anthea?
Testing, 1, 2. Test.
Hello. Gareth, can you hear me now?
There you are, loud and clear. What's up?
Okay. So yesterday, the overall market was down about 0.5%. There was a sharp sell-off in the afternoon session, though. Resources had a little bounce. The index closed 0.33% higher. But then financials and industrials were between 0.5% to 1% down. The one green was Brait, though. It had another 3.5% positive day yesterday. It's second consecutive for that number.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be nice if we finally seen the bottom of that trough of that share?
I would love Brait to just start climbing back to where it originally was, and I'll be happy with that. Forget about trying to climb higher than that.
So, and then what would you do? Sell your shares, or would you hold for it to go higher still because now that it's got momentum?
I'll take whatever I can get, really, because it has the floor has dropped out. We've gone down about 40% on that share.
Absolutely, since Brexit, right?
Yeah.
It's been horrible.
Mm. Absolutely.
And then the Rand traded through 13 to the dollar again. Very odd, because the dollar continues to weaken against the other major currencies. So it means the Rand really is very weak. I think market participants have started talking about, well, stopped talking about the Trump trade. They're now talking about the Donald discount. And so basically they're just implying that he's unlikely to pass any regulation that'll help the market. You know, he's been in office a while now. He really hasn't made that much difference from a market point of view, I should say.
Okay.
And then iron ore futures were up another 4% yesterday morning. Just as a reminder, iron ore was trading at $95 an ounce in February and has fallen all the way back to $56. I mean, I think if you at 95, I think it was overdone. But if you assume that the global growth story is still intact and that demand for commodities will continue, then you have to believe that iron ore will carry on its steady little climb back or closer to $95 than to $56 an ounce. And then on the back of that, Kumba, which is listed on our market, had a good couple of days. It was trading 146 Rand a share about 3 days ago. It's now 168 Rand. And in this case, I want to say that the higher iron ore price is actually the underpin for the rally, because there's another issue at play here. And that is that consensus seems to think that Kumba could potentially start paying a dividend again. So at the last results presentation, they didn't pay a dividend, but they did show a very strong balance sheet of, like, they had 6.2 billion Rand in cash. And the management basically said to the analysts that they're not going to pay a dividend because they want to shore up their balance sheet. But if you assume that Kumba will return to the lower end of their historic average dividend cover ratio in about 1.2 times, it puts them on a dividend yield in the low teens, which is phenomenal. And in this market, even if we get half that dividend, it's a very attractive proposition. And I think with a higher iron ore price, investors are actually just kind of taking their chances now. Like, they don't want to miss the rally.
Right.
I think there could still be some volatility, but it's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And then this avian flu story just keeps getting bigger. And the three big listed poultry companies, so there's Astral Foods, there's RCL, and then there's Sovereign. Astral and RCL have been incredibly volatile in the last week, whereas Sovereign Foods have had a huge rally. And I think what's happening is that investors are saying, well, actually, Sovereign Foods, they're what do you call them, hatcheries or breeding farms,
yes,
are actually far away from Astral and RCL and from where the bird flu is. And so if RCL and Astral are having to cull chickens and people are not buying from them, Sovereign will be the only supplier or safe supplier into the market. And Sarah and I last night had such a big discussion about this, because both of us were like, we know, we've been told it's not contagious to humans. We've been told they're doing their best efforts. We're all fine. But we're both like, we're just going to stay away from chicken for a bit longer, like, until we're 100% sure.
Okay, I didn't realize that there were people taking it that seriously.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, last Friday I said to you, oh, there was this one outbreak on an Astral farm and it's all contained and fine. But a week later, there's suddenly quite a big drama about it.
Right. Okay, well, now you frightened me. Now I don't know what I'm going to eat this weekend. I know it's not going to be chicken.
Yeah, back to beef then.
Yeah, damn it, Anthea. I was doing so well.
Sorry. Okay, just, I want to say something. Like, the last thing I want to say today. Just in case you think it's always me that's negative on our economy. I was at a breakfast yesterday with some of South Africa's top economists. Wow, Gareth, I am definitely not bearish compared to them. You should have heard some of the predictions they were making. Annabel Bishop, who's the chief economist at Investec, was saying she's expecting another negative quarter this year. So everyone's going, why is everyone calling this a technical recession? There is nothing technical about this. It is a recession, flat out. So she's expecting another negative quarter. She's expecting another downgrade. And she's predicting that the Rand will go to 19 against the dollar by the end of the year. And if that doesn't frighten you, then...
Jeez. That does frighten me. And I do feel like there's a general malaise out there at the moment. There is there's very little positivity and inspiration, and we've got to do whatever we can to shirk it. I know it sounds like I'm trying to be an Oprah or a Dr. Phil, and I'm trying to counsel South Africa, but honestly, if we don't start getting our attitude right, and it goes all the way down to you, by the way, don't think that this is the government's problem. It is, of course, it's the government's fault we're in this predicament, but you can start fixing this. You know, there are people who I email. There are people who I try to arrange meetings with. There are people who you try to get things done with. And they take their time to get back to you. They take their time to do the work. They will schedule as many wastes of time in between doing the work that they promised you and the meeting that you have in the beginning as possible. South Africa is a lazy, lazy country at the moment. So don't sit on your backside and blame everybody else. It's got to be something that you take control of, at least within your own personal environment. Right, Anthea?
Oh, you have absolutely hit on one of my biggest bugbears in this country. So when you request a meeting from someone and they come back and they go, yes, we can do one in 3 weeks' time, you're just like, no, it's actually really important.
Then don't worry.
Open up space in your calendar.
I'll take my business elsewhere. And this is the problem. I think a lot of people in a globalized economy would rather take their business elsewhere, where you get a reply immediately from someone in a country that really is working hard. We've got countries around us where growth is better than it is here. Angola. I mean, Angola, for God's sake.
And of course, the big standout performer on the continent, Ethiopia.
Yes. And what are we doing? We're doing nothing. We're busy. I turned on the TV last night and ENCA busy reporting about what the menu is at the ANC's conference. We're giving attention to the wrong people. We're talking about stuff that doesn't matter. We all need to get to goddamn work.
So Dr. Adrian Saville, who is the CIO of an asset management business called Canon, he was saying, he made an interesting comment yesterday. He said he doesn't completely blame government. He actually blames the private sector. And I'm not sure I could totally agree with him, because I think, you know, the private sector, corporates want to invest money. They want to grow their companies. But if there's no business confidence, if the environment does not engage or is not fertile enough for growth, then you surely wouldn't. But I agree with you. We absolutely, everybody, really everybody has to get up and do something. I think the general feeling that came out yesterday was that this weekend the ANC will come up with some sort of economic policy. They'll tout it around and make themselves sound great, but then they'll forget about it, just like they did with the NDP. I mean, the focus really has moved to politicking, when right now we absolutely need to shift this economy. We need a catalyst.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that it begins with you. So if you feel that you're just going to the office every day and doing the absolute minimum, you cannot complain about how the economy is not working for you or how you're not getting rich. It's your fault then. All right. On that note, we'll leave it.
I'm going to replay this on Monday morning.
We all have our part to play. If you're not doing your bit, then don't be surprised when there isn't anything for you at the end of the month. All right. Thank you very much, Anthea. And we'll chat to you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too, Gareth.
All right. There you go. Anthea Gardner and the Money Shot. I see a lot of people on social media talking about the Gupta goons, i.e. Mkhitama's gang. That's Black First, Land First. Someone called them fascist black shirts, which is what... No, I'm serious. This is what Hitler used to use to intimidate people. See Max Dupre saying, Gupta goons like the BLF think intimidating a journalist will stop the media from writing about the Guptas. It will have the opposite effect. Well, we're not dealing with very smart people here, I'm afraid.
And there is such a small number of them. You just need one water cannon. No, really. Shoot them off whatever they're trying to get on. They've got to be dealt with the level they actually are bringing to the fight. They're just making noise and just vandalizing.
And I love this. Vuyom Voko from ENCA posted a picture of a bottle of Rupert and Rothschild wine from the ANC's gala last night. So clearly the white monopoly capital proponents would be very upset to know that that's what the ANC are drinking at their big conference, having this five-star meal and Rupert and Rothschild wines. Mm. So they're obviously supporting white monopoly capital behind the scenes, no matter what they say in front of them. All right, it's a weekend and it's time for us to start chilling, and there's lots of good stuff coming up on the show this morning. Let's go to our executive producer, Sia Sangweni, to find out who is coming up on the show today. All right, Sia, you ready for this? This is a This is a big thing
this
now.
This is a big
this
moment.
It's going to become a thing that you do every
it's
day.
It's official.
Well, we're going to... Do you want some theme music?
Do we really have to?
I think we have to have it.
Let's definitely
All right.
do
it. Here is Sia Sangweni with the lineup for the next couple of hours on CliffCentral.com. What's going on?
Thank you very much, Gareth Cliff. Live from the executive producer's corner of the desk, this is the EP's update. Coming up at 8 a.m., we have comedian extraordinaire Joey Ruzdin.
Oh, good.
That's all.
Awesome. No, but the rest of the day on the
Oh, do you have
channel,
the lineup
yeah.
as well?
Yeah, let's go to... What,
okay, let's go back to my official
Just Now podcast.
EP update. Thank right. you. Coming up at 9, we have the comedians coming in with the Just Now podcast. At 10 a.m., we have Sex Talk. 11, Casper Radio Show, No Borders, 20-something. So basically, your lineup and day is full with Cliff Central content.
Very nice. CCC.
The comment that Cyclist made will actually apply to Friday morning's lineup, not those poor girls on the podium.
What do you mean?
But having to just have condoms around these people. Oh, wow. I mean, that comedy show followed by Jodsy.
We should just Very strap nice. Up on a Friday.
All right, let's get your day going, shall we? Dinner. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Bum-ba-da-da-dum. Bum-bum. CliffCentral.com.